Did you know that? We need to be covered, and we're going to be studying all aspects of that this month. And we're going to be looking at how that can affect our spiritual walk and our lives. Amen. And I'm looking for God to do great things in this month. I believe that this is the year of growth. This is the year where we can be fruitful in the land. That's what the scripture that the name comes from, Rehoboth. God told Isaac, and Isaac named the well Rehoboth because he says that God has made room and we shall be fruitful in the land. Amen. I got to do one more thing here. I always forget, but we're so blessed to have Josh being our technical. Amen. And through him, God has used him to do great things in helping us to get our multimedia going. Amen. So that now we are streaming and doing many things, and you're able to watch this all during the week. Let me just get this. There we go. All right, I believe it's okay. Okay. All right. So, September the 2nd, and that's interesting that it's the 2nd because my message second service has to do with the 2nd. So, all of those of you who are going through some stuff, just hang on till second service. Amen. I have a word for you today. Amen. So we've talked before about the coverings, but I don't think I've really done it systematically and done it real justice. So I wanted to do it on a monthly theme basis. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings. Anybody suffering? If you're not suffering, I don't know what you're doing. You're not fighting, because it's easy to swim downstream, but if we are supposed to be in a war, amen. Paul, writing to the church of the Romans, said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." Let's say glory.
Glory.
"Which shall be revealed in us." Amen. And to sum it up, really, what I want to encourage you and let you know that you are a vessel prepared for his glory. That's amazing. That, I don't know if you get it, that God designed you so that his glory could be in you and cover you. You know, it really didn't hit me till a few years ago. And we're going to look at that this week and next week and the next few Sundays. But I want to lay some groundwork before I get into the covering in detail. And I call this the power and the glory. In John 1:1, we know that very famous line that starts off, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible goes on to tell us that all creation is by the Word. And I said something a few Tuesday nights ago, and I have been trying to expand on it, but I really haven't found a way to put what I have in my mind and present it. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the spirit world manifests in our world as the Word, whether it be good or bad. When Satan comes, you know what he's going to come to you with? A word. He's going to say, "Hath God said?" So the spirit world first manifests in our world as a word, whether it's a good word or a bad word. And also the words that you speak can have power. That's why Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it what is what comes out. Knowing that, do you know how careful we should be about what we say? Jesus said we're going to have to give an account for what? Every idle word. We wonder sometimes why things are so negative, and I'm very guilty of this. It's because the words that we have been speaking are negative. Many times my wife has to catch me and say, "Don't say that." Imagine if we were speaking only positive things. It's what comes out of us defiles us. That means smears us, adheres to us. And there is an enormous power in words and what we say and how we say them. because it was the power of the Word that was in creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we take John chapter 1, verse 1, and put it over Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. So immediately, when you match that up, the Word must be God. Because in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, God. Amen. So we already see something powerful, that God and the Word is synonymous. It is the manifestation of the Spirit in the physical. The same was in the beginning with God. And jumping down to verse 3, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So if you need something made, you need the Word. If you need something in your life, you're going to have to get it through the Word, because it is through the Word that it says everything was made. You need a new job. You need some finances. It's going to have to be through the Word. Amen. The Word that you speak and the Word that God speaks through you. We have to declare some things. So I want to lay some groundwork before I go into the covering. And I wanted to let you understand that creation is by the Word. But when we say Word, what do we mean? Well, I'm trying to explain to you that spirits in the spirit dimension manifest here in the physical first as the Word. John 6:63 tells us that. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. That means that without the Spirit animating this body, it's dead. You know, scientists have been able to make a lot of artificial stuff. But you need a source of power to make that thing run, right? They have been able to make artificial hearts not as good as the original. They can run for a little bit, a year or two. But eventually, if they don't replace it with flesh, with something that was not created by them, it doesn't work. In John, Jesus revealed this revelation. It says, it is the Spirit that maketh alive. Once the Spirit has departed, they can hook that body up to all kinds of pumps and blood supplies and oxygen, but there's nothing up here. It's gone. Eventually, the doctor will come to the family and say, you know, we have to disconnect. Because it was the Spirit, the soul, that actually made that body function. In fact, the body was a covering, temporary covering, so to speak, for the soul or the spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. This body profiteth nothing. You know why? It is going to eventually die. Amen. It is going to age. It is going to develop aches and pains. It is going to be subject to the trials of this life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, the scripture is telling us a revelation that we probably don't really deeply get, that the Word manifests in this physical dimension, or the spirits, I should say, manifests as a word, whether it be for good or whether it be for bad. When Satan first, the first time we come across Satan, it's through his words, isn't it? His word was to try and sow doubt. Hath God said? That's what he's saying to us all the time. You're sick. You believe in healing, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, did really God mean for you to be healed? Did God really mean for you to be delivered? Did God really mean for you to be whole? Did God really mean for you to be blessed? He's always coming through his spirit manifestation as a negative word to depress you, to pull you down. Now, if you are sensitive to the Spirit, you'll recognize it right away. You ever had a really bad thought that just kind of popped in your head for no reason? And you go, where did that come from? You know what you got to do? You got to rebuke that thing. Because what that is a spirit word trying to make you have doubt, to bring you into condemnation, to bring negative stuff into your life. But if you will listen to the pure word, it will bring life. It will bring life. So I want to lay some groundwork here about how the Spirit acts. In the physical, it does so as Word. And we can prove that many ways. In Genesis 1, how did the Spirit act? How did the God Spirit manifest in the physical? Through a word. What does it say? And God said. God said. And when God says, let there be, the only answer is, and it was so. The only answer to when God says, let there be, is, and it was so. There is nothing that can resist the power of God's word. Nothing can resist the power of God's word. The demons, when Jesus confronted them, they didn't say, you can't do that to us. They just begged him, well, we know you can do it, but could you give us a little bit more time? You've come to trouble us before our time. There is nothing that can resist the power of God's word. Let's say that again. Let me say it again. There is nothing that can resist the power of God's word. You know what that means? We should be using it. We should be using it. Amen. Because we see that when the Spirit manifests in the physical, it's through the word. When God's Spirit moved upon the face of the deep, nothing happened until that Spirit actualized or became in the physical through the word. As soon as God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's look at this again. And God said in Genesis 1:6, and in Genesis 1:9, God said, and in Genesis 1:11, and it said, God said. I'm showing you how the Spirit moves in the physical. In fact, over 10 times, God said, and every time he said, something happened. And I've said so many times, if you can get God to say into your life, something will happen. You can't stay the same if God says something into your life, because the only answer will be, and it was so. Amen. That's what we need to be doing, is to be seeking a word from God. Now, we know that in these times, the Bible says there's going to be a famine for the word. That's why you see so many less miracles, because there is a famine for the true word of God, because it is the word that quickeneth and maketh alive. Amen. So we see what I'm trying to tell you and show you here is that when the Spirit acts, it acts through the word. God has got to speak something. He's got to say something. And that's why when we get the Holy Spirit, no wonder God chose the act of utterance as evidence of the power of the Spirit. The Bible says, and they heard them speak in tongues in Acts chapter 10, right? So Peter said, well, can we forbid water as they have had the same experience as us? That's why on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit manifested in the physical as a word, as tongues. They heard them, all these people from all over the then known world, speaking the wonderful praises of God. So again, I'm showing evidence that when the Spirit manifests in the physical, it's going to come as a word. I'm going to show you that again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Again, it says, and God said. And as soon as God says, something happens. Something happens. Verse 20, and God said. And God said, verse 24, and the last time, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Do you understand that God's original goal was to be for you and I to be his glory? We don't get that. I don't think we get that, but we were created to be the vessel, to be covered with his glory. Amen. To be covered with his glory. We are so, so far from what God originally intended through the fall of man, through sin, through disobedience, but through the Spirit. Amen. Through the movement of the Spirit, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the utterance was given back to man. And through the word of God, he is bringing us back to where he wants us to be. So now, for a word to be effective, what do you need? Someone said it. Prayer. How do you speak? You have to speak the word, but what enables you to speak? The Spirit is what is the force, but as a practical matter, what enables you to speak? Breath. Breath. If I tape your mouth shut or I stop you taking in breath, can you speak? No. So we see that there is a relationship. The Spirit manifests in the physical through the Word, but it does so through using breath. Before you speak, you're going to breathe. It's through the breath that the Word becomes real. I dare you to speak without using breath. Can it be done? No, it cannot be done. So we see that there is a relationship. The Word is powered through the breath. Through the breath. Let me show you this. In John chapter 20, verse 21, when Jesus was about to be crucified, before he left, he said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed. And saith, remember now, the breath is what empowers the Word. First he breathed on them, and then the Word came forth. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What this is a revelation, actually, of the very first covering. In Genesis 1, it does not give us in detail what it was that God said, but I am declaring to you by revelation that what he said is what Jesus said in John 20, 21. In Genesis, it just said God breathed on them and man became a living soul. But when we put the scripture in John 6, 63, that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, and we put it all together, then it's obvious that although the word is not explicit in Genesis, what God must have said through the breath is the same as what Jesus said here. He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," because it is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, that makes alive. The Bible says that man then became a living soul. He was covered, indwelt by the Word, which is what made him a living soul. When the Word becomes physical, it then manifests the next step as a son of God. So here are the steps. The spirit world by itself is just spirit, but when the spirit manifests in the physical, it first manifests as a word. God said, 10 times in Genesis. First it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, but still nothing happened until there was a physical manifestation of the Word. That's why Jesus, when he was telling them about how he was able to curse the fig tree, he used words, didn't he? He spoke to it. What I'm trying to tell you is that Word is a covering. You have to have the Word covering you. You have to have the Word covering. I don't think it would be a bad thing. You know, we went to Brother Mario's funeral, and he had some of his biker friends. And they were declaring through their word what they thought of certain things. On their jackets, they had patches. And their patches were not very good words. Wouldn't it be great if we had the Word written all over us? Literally, that's what the Jews did. They had a little box called a phylactery. And inside of it was a word from the Torah. And they actually bound that to their head. They had the Word of God literally on their head or on their hand. Do you have the Word of God in you? Amen. Because if you have the Word of God in you, that's what will come out of you. John 1:14, continuing with what John said, the Word was made flesh. So here's the progression. For the Spirit to be manifest in the physical, it first manifests as a word, whether for good or for bad. As I said in Genesis, when Satan came, his first manifestation was as a negative word. "Hath God said?" Sowing seeds of doubt, making you question God, making you doubt whether you're on the right track, whether this is going to work out. He's always saying that. That's his word. "Hath God said?" Trying to make God's word be less than what it truly is. We have to rebuke that. We have to reject that. Amen. So the Word, the Spirit manifests as Word, but then for the Word can actually manifest further as flesh. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Now, this is the part I'm trying to tell you. This month, the theme is coverings. And God's ultimate goal is for his glory to cover us. That's only going to happen when the word that we get manifests, becomes real in our walk. That we actually manifest the word. It's very well to say, I'm a Christian, and I love people, and then we hate our brother. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you can't love me, your brother who you see, how are you going to love God who you can't see? So the word has to become actually manifest to become a literal son of God. Amen. That's what we saw in the incarnation. The word was then made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his. When the word is truly made flesh and manifested, you know what's going to come out and cover us? Glory. Glory. You may not see it, but you'll feel it. You will want to be in the presence of someone who is manifesting true sonship, because there'll be something different about them. There'll be a joy about them. There'll be an optimism about them, because they will be manifesting the word. As I said last week on our theme on praise, the power of praise, just think about Paul and Silas about to be executed, having been beaten. So that their body was torn up. They're put in the lowest dungeon. It's dark. It's terrible. They probably weren't even fed. But they were so manifesting the word, the presence of God, that at midnight, what happened? They're singing praises. They're lifting. They are uttering words in the form of song. And that had a power to create an earthquake. It didn't actually say God did the earthquake. It said, but at midnight, there was an earthquake. I really believe they had so much Holy Ghost manifestation. The word became, in other words, flesh. It manifested in the physical to the point where there was an earthquake. And their praise and their word not only freed them, but it freed everybody else who was around them. That's what I'm saying about the word becoming literal. Romans 1:3 says, concerning this Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So the ultimate goal is for the word to be manifested, not only as a spoken word or the rhema word, but in the physical, by our lifestyle, by our walk. And then that's when we truly become the Son of God, the more of the word that we manifest. So I've laid all that groundwork to start speaking about the covering that God wanted us to become, because his ultimate goal is that we be a vessel. We be the target of his glory, of his pleasure. That's why we were created last. We were his highest creation. It was his intent that we be the ultimate creation, his children that he could look at. You ever looked at your children and just been happy and smiled at them and just looked at them, and you can't quite say why you're happy, but you're looking at them, and you know, there are moments, I hope, in your life when you can look at your children and just be happy for no reason. Amen. Of course, there will be other moments where they make you so mad. And you know, that's us to God. That's us to God. There are times when we make him so mad because we're so disobedient, so off into the wilderness. But what he really created us for was that we could be a vessel, an object of his love. And he wanted to just cover us with so much blessing and with his ultimate glory. And so for that to happen, the word has to be manifested. It can't just stay as word. It's got to become physical, incarnated in our heart. Amen. Let's go back to the first scripture in Genesis. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And as I said before, it doesn't explicitly say in Genesis what the word was, but it was not just breath. He breathed into nostrils the breath of life. And I put in brackets, that's my own interpretation, the word. And man became a living soul. When God created us, he put of himself, of his spirit, of his covering. And he looked at Adam and he said it was good. When he finished creation, he was happy. God was pleased. He didn't just say it was good. He said it was very good. You cannot get better than when God says it is very good. The next time God looks at a son and is happy is thousands of years later when Jesus is coming up out of the water and he says, "This is my beloved son." That was God's aim for you and me all along, to be able to look at you and say, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." But that will only happen if it first starts off as word, and the word becomes active, and then the word becomes manifest in our walk with God. And in other words, we become a son of God, a daughter of the King. Amen. So let me just go over some of these things again. The spirit, when it's in the spirit realm, is more of a thought. A thought you cannot hear. It's not expressed. And that's when it's called the logos. But when the logos or the thought acts in the physical, manifesting using the breath, ruach, and is as the spoken, and it becomes the word, the utterance, the rhema. And so we see that the spirit, the thought, becomes active when you express it. That's why I believe that, yes, you will have all kinds of negative thoughts, but don't you say them. They only, I believe, become powerful when you express it, when you make them physical through your breath. Let me say it again. It only becomes powerful when you use the breath to actually express it. We may not have control of thoughts that just jump into our heads originally. We can rebuke them, but we may not be able to stop them at first, just appearing and we're saying, "Where did that come from? What a terrible thought. Am I the only one?" You know, some weird thought jumps in your head and you say, "Where did that come from?" Do not express it. Do not say it. Amen. I'm preaching to me today, because I'm one to be very negative expressions. And I know it's something that I have to overcome. So the thought, the spirit, when it manifests in the physical, using the breath, and comes out as the utterance. And that has power, that for good or for bad. Amen. I remember praying for my oldest son when he was born. He was diagnosed originally with autism. And I would pronounce a word on him every night. I just kept on doing that for months, for years and years. And that word built up. And eventually, 1 year, God healed him, delivered him completely. Never give up. You keep speaking that word. It has power. Jesus looked at the fig tree and he uttered a word, a rhema word. He said, "From henceforth, no man eat of this tree." That was power right there. Now, he could have just thought it, but I believe it has to be spoken. That's how God created the universe. He didn't just say, "And God thought, let there be light, and there was light." That's not what it says. It said, "God said, let there be light." The woman with the issue of blood, she got healed because she said, "If I touch the hem of his garment," she declared something and made it happen. So we see that God's original goal was for us to be covered, endued, infilled with the word. And when that word is manifest in our lives, that's when we become a son of God. Amen. So when you combine those two things, the word, amen, incarnated or joined with the flesh, becomes a son of God. "To them gave he power to become." Because of sin, because of the fall, it becomes a journey. When Adam was created, though, it was instantaneous. He was created fully a son of God. He had no sin. He was covered with the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. For us now, because we are still in this terrible body that is subject to temptation, subject to faults, subject to pain, subject to cravings, it's become a journey. But if we will let the word, the more word we get in us, that's a covering. That's what I'm trying to tell you this lesson. The word is a covering. The word can cover us. As I told you many, many years ago when I was 8 years old, I was coming back from church and my mother turned around and she just pointed at me and declared a word. She pointed at me and she said, "He is blessed and shall be blessed." And I never have forgotten that. That was a covering. That was a word that has covered me my whole life. Even though I have messed up, even though I have fallen and not always done what God wants, that word, I appeal to that blessing, that declaration. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I was going to say, sometimes people think that Once they get saved, you know, everything is going to be fine and the road is going to be smoothed and paved and everything going to be good for you. But it's not that it's not going to be good, but it's just that the word is the spirit which covers you, but it don't stop you from going through life situations.
Amen.
It only just covers you and gives you strength to keep you moving and to keep you in God. So the problems of the world is not going to stop in your life just because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But what the Holy Ghost does is it gives you the power and the strength to keep going and to move on.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says you will hear a word, a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. We always have choices. God will never take away our choice. We have to submit to the word for it to cover us. You know, you it's like your children. You can tell them, hey, if you do this, it's going to be a mess. You know, but when they get to a certain age, you can't control them. They're going to do what they want to do. And as much as you would like to save them from trouble, sometimes it's the only way that they learn. God will whisper to us. He'll tell us, this is the way, walk in it. He will give us a word. We will hear a word from the pastor. We'll hear a word from the scriptures. But we have to be willing to submit. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. When we go opposite, and my sermon is coming, so I'll wait for that. Amen. So the first covering that God gave was his spirit, which manifests as a word, which when we make it manifest in our flesh, gives us the power to become. It's a becoming. Are you becoming? I'm becoming. I want to become a son of God. I want you to become a daughter of the Prince of Princes. Amen. If we submit to the word and start to let it manifest, it'll start to knock off all those rough edges. It'll start to change our thinking. It'll start to change our direction. That's why it's becoming. And I've used this illustration so many times. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, God told him in Genesis 17, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I used to look at them and say, well, that's not right, God. That's not fair. How can Abraham make himself perfect? But what God was really saying, just start. Get up off your behind. Start walking to me, and I will declare you perfect. I will change the picture. I will look as the end as if it's the beginning. I will look at you as if you're perfect, just because you're in motion. To them gave he power to become. I hope you're becoming. I hope you're becoming. Don't give up. Don't sit down on the journey. Don't pause. Don't sit still. We need to be 24/7. Letting the word manifest, be a covering in our lives. Amen. Again, to show you that the word is the covering, Revelation 19:11, John in his vision, he said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed, and I put that in yellow. What I'm trying to tell you is the word is a covering. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. How many times do we use our own words when we get in trouble? Imagine if we could remember a scripture to apply, and I've said it so many times. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was faced with Satan's words? He said, it is written. It is written. And many times we don't refer to a word. We try and fight Satan with our own mouth. We start giving him a piece of our own mind, right? We start fighting with our own words. We start combating with our own attitude. Jesus, being God, could have said anything. But instead, as an example, he went back to the Old Testament and said, it is written. He used the graphe, the written word. Amen? He used the graphe word, the written word, to say, it is written, man shall not live. You may be starving right now. You may not know how to pay your rent. You may not know how to pay your electricity bill. Your car may be broken down. You may be feeling sick. But it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written, Satan, who he's saying to you, hath God said? God doesn't love you. Look at what's happening to you. Things are going from bad to worse. But I'm telling you, it is written. That word is a covering. See, Revelation 19:13 said he was clothed. We need to put on that word of God. It is written, despite what I'm going through somewhere, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He is going to be a provider. He is going to make my way plain. Amen. Jesus said, listen, all these birds you see flying out there, millions of them, not one of them, not one little hummingbird dies, falls to the ground, and God doesn't know about it. God doesn't. You see, look at the dandelions and the flowers. Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed as these. Don't you think you count more to God? If we will submit and depend upon him and call, aren't you not his child? Aren't you not his child? Just wait upon the Lord. You may be going through some hard times right now, but somewhere it is written. There is a word. There is a word that you can depend on. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away. Because the strongest force in the universe is not the atom. It's not the nuclear bomb. It's not electricity. It's not a plutonium bomb. The strongest force in the universe is the word.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. Every father wants their child to do right and do good. So it's just as our Heavenly Father. He's the same way. He wants us to do good and do right. And just because situations is in our life, sometimes God will use your situation that you put your own self into. He will use that to get your attention, to draw you closer to him, or even maybe to show you something about yourself. You know, we as people, we fall short of God's glory. But if we are God's children, then it's only God's best interest to bring us closer to him.
Amen, amen. Remember what I said, that God's original goal for us was so that we could be the vessel of his glory. There was a man that was born blind. And the disciples said, was it because someone sinned that he was born this way? Did his father or mother sin? Was it something he did? Jesus said, no. Now, was it God that created that blindness? I don't believe so. It was sin that did that. But nevertheless, God can work out even a negative situation to his glory. So Jesus said, no, that the glory of God can be made manifest. I tell you what, you can't have a testimony without a test. All you have is moaning. Moaning and moaning and moaning. And complaining. And whining. But if you have the test before, you can have a testimony. Amen. So sometimes when we're going through things, it's so actually that God, we can be a vessel of honor, a vessel of his glory. Amen. Lazarus died just so that Jesus could be manifest and show his glory. So we see that the word of God is a covering, and it was the original covering. Now, as I said, sometimes we try and cover with our own self, with our own words. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering. You know, sometimes we cover with education. We think education is going to make us successful, or riches, or money, or all kinds of things. But that's not the covering. The true covering is the Spirit. The Spirit manifests in the physical as the Word. When the Word incarnates in the flesh, you become a son of God. Amen. And I've put in here the meaning of the original word. And sometimes it can be translated as image. Sometimes we put on a false face. We cover our faults with an image. We play act, right? We pretend, in other words. But God knows the secrets and intents of the hearts. It says, they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. I remember when I was going to school, they made us learn Shakespeare. And that we had to memorize whole verses of it. And there was something about Shakespeare that I really like. Of course, it's written in the same kind of English as the King James Bible, and so it's very quotable. But I remember having to learn this whole phrase about this king who was, or this man who was conspiring to kill somebody, and he was trying to kill somebody. He had planned to kill somebody, and he was trying to cover it up. And so the phrase that we had to learn was, false face, doth hide what false heart doth know. Think about it. False face doth hide what false. You know what it's saying? We put on a front because we know we've done something we shouldn't. That's the kind of covering that won't work. God says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. Amen. In fact, in Numbers it says, and every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. God created us, every single being he created with a covering so that they could be in relationship with him. I've taught that before, that the angels have a covering. And we saw in some of the other lessons on Tuesday night how Satan lost his covering. Amen. We see that represented in Isaiah chapter 6 when the prophet sees the vision. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And symbolically, the angels have wings, but they don't need wings to fly. You do know that, right? When manifested in the flesh, none of the angels that people see actually have wings. Did you notice that? They see them as men. Of course, we picture them as wings, but the wings, symbolically, are only there to represent, guess what? A covering. A covering. Not for them to fly. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And what are the wings being used for? Mainly, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Symbolically, wings in the Bible are translated from the Hebrew word kanaf, which is really, again, another word for covering. Even the angels, to be in God's presence, have to have a covering. The proof of this, of course, is Psalms 91, verse 4, and it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And someone jokingly said, well, is God a chicken? No, the feathers represent the Spirit, the Word. Amen. Psalms 91 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. It goes on to say, you know, all the things that covering provides, protection. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand. 10,000, and it goes on to say, but it shall not come nigh thee. Anytime you get fearful, anytime you get worried, get this graphe word, Psalms 91. He shall cover thee. We need that covering. Under his wings, and those wings symbolically are the Spirit. They're the word covering. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It's the truth. When you're covered by the Spirit and wrap that round with the truth, you are covered. You are protected. Now, as you said, Sister Johnny, that doesn't mean that Satan won't come to you and attack you. If he came to Jesus, he's certainly going to come to us. Think about his brazenness to try and make Jesus doubt who he was. If thou be a son of God. If he will come to Jesus, he's certainly going to come to you and me and say, hath God said? Hath God said? You're going through some trouble right now, so why don't you give up? God doesn't love you. You've messed up, Sister Johnny.
I just want to say, Pastor, that the devil is so clever, and he's so clever with the way he do things until now he got everybody saying that God can have a different name, but it's still the same God. No matter what religion you is, people are saying we are all talking about the same God, but we're not talking about the same God. That's just a tactic from the enemy to get you to believe that you're talking about the same God. Jesus said that if you don't declare that he is Lord, then you're not of God. Amen. If you can declare that Jesus is Lord, then you can be of God. But yet and still, if you have not the Spirit, then you don't belong to him.
Amen. Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So they'll have to tear that verse out because there is no other name given among men where we must be saved. Amen. We need to be under the covering of the Word, and that Word then becomes manifest in our flesh, making us become a son of God. See, so in Psalms we see that wings symbolically in the Scripture is a spiritual covering. That's why the angels need a covering. Lucifer had a covering. In Ezekiel 28:13, speaking about him, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. You know, we're going to get a precious stone. Do you know that? We're going to get a stone. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says we're going to get a stone with our name written on it. Amen. Our name written on it. But Lucifer had a covering. Every precious stone. And now look at what it says. Was. Past tense. Was thy covering. At some point, he lost his covering through sin. And it goes on to describe the beauteous covering in terms of gemstones, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire. He certainly was created a beautiful creature. You know, because God just does not create mess. God cannot, because he's perfect. He can only create perfect things by definition. God did not create anything that was detrimental or less than perfect. When he does it right. The Bible says every good and perfect gift come from the Father above. Amen. So if you've got a lemon car, it's because you chose it. You wouldn't wait on God. If you've got a hoopty, did you pray about that? Amen. 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 I don't know if you use that term here. I don't know where I got it from. Probably my daughter told me about hoopties. She was always telling me she was driving hoopties. I didn't get her a nice car, but amen. Even Lucifer was covered, and the Bible says was covered. And this shows you that to be in relationship with God, you cannot come before his presence without a covering. Amen. So God's plan was that his image. God said, let us make man in our image. Now let me just make a little side note there. A lot of people read that and say, let us, that proves there's a Trinity. It's God saying, it's the Father speaking to the Son and the Holy Spirit getting together and saying, let us make man. You know, they forget who wrote this Bible. Who originally wrote this Bible? Man, but what kind of man? What tribe was he from? Was he Chinese? Was he English? Was he North American? Who wrote Genesis according to our tradition? Moses. And Moses was of the tribe of Levi. So if he wrote the book, he understood what it meant, right? And Moses is the same person who wrote in Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is. You know, it'd be like me trying to tell a Chinese person what his language means. And I speak no Chinese. No, this is not what it means when it says, let us. It is speaking of the magnified glory of God. Moses knew that. It's like the queen. When she speaks, you know what she speaks? When she's speaking on behalf of the state, she says, we. And you're looking and there's only one queen. But she's speaking from the royal prerogative of being the head of state. So she speaks on behalf of her kingdom and she says, we. That's all this means. The Jews never interpreted this to mean that there were three separate persons. No, this is God speaking in the royal majesty of his eternal kingdom. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. God had a plan for your life to make you as perfect and as beautiful a creature, surpassing even Lucifer when he was created. And he was going to imbue you with dominion and give you power and give you his glory. It says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Total dominion. It goes on in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. He didn't create the angels in his image. He didn't create any other animal. He created us to be his very image, the vessel of his glory. Male and female created he them. See, in 1 Corinthians 11:7, Paul starts to explain why we were created. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. We were created to be his glory, but we have come so far from what God created. But if you will let the word manifest in your life, to them gave he power to become. You're like Abraham. You started the journey. You started to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And the Bible says, God in Romans 8, it says, calleth those things that are not as though they be. I mean, if you were to look at me and the mess that I am, but thanks be to God, that's not how God is looking at me. As long as I'm coming on the journey, he's looking at the perfected me. He's looking at his intent for my life. He's looking at what he wants me to become. Yes, Amen. You know, man was created from the dust of the ground, but woman was actually created from flesh. Think about that, from his side. We'll get into that in another time. So the first covering that God gave was his spirit. And that's why now we have to have his spirit to once again truly become a son of God. Remember what I said. The spirit manifests first in the physical as a word. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound as of what? A mighty rushing wind. That's the breath, the ruach. Remember I said, for the sound to be manifest, it has to have a breath. So there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then the next thing it does, it fills. It fills. When you put air into a place, it can't stay in one corner. You can't have a vacuum with air. It's going to fill whatever space you put it into. When the Spirit truly fills you, it's going to fill whatever space you will allow it to. You have to open up your heart to let it truly fill you completely. However much we're submitted to God, that's how much dominion we're giving back. That's how much he can use. We give him a little bit, all he can do is a little bit. And that's the truth. We only give him a little bit of control, he can only exercise a little bit of control. But when we truly yield, as we studied last month, and give him a yada praise, surrender. Every time Moses lifted up his hand, Israel had victory. Every time he put his hand down, they started to lose. When we're truly submitted and we let that spirit, that wind, have its full expansion, then we will have victory. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. See, because our birth was corrupted, now we have to have that spirit covering again to cover us. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In the weeks to come, I'm going to be talking about the covering for the body. That's what baptism is. It's the covering for the flesh. The Spirit is the covering for your soul. And we need both of them because we are still flesh. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. It's so amazing as to, because if you ask people, are they saved? Everybody is a Christian. If they're not a Christian, then they're Muslim, but everybody is of a denomination now. So I've learned now to not ask people if they're Christian. Ask them, have they been born again?
Amen.
And then you'll hear a different response from them. They'll ask you, if they haven't, they're going to say, well, what is that? And
Amen.
Then so now you have the opportunity. It's so easy to witness because a lot of people don't know about the Spirit, even though they're in the church. So if you ask people, have they been born again? Now it gives you the opportunity to witness to them, to show them the real way to be saved.
Amen. Amen. And we should not let a week go by when we don't engage someone, because that's what he has called us to do. Amen. Not to just take our talent of what we have learned and bury it, but it is to use it. Amen. To manifest a seed, when you plant it, the only reason why you plant a seed is to do what? Have it grow and multiply, right? Amen. So the first covering was the Spirit of God, and because of sin, man let that covering die, and they became naked. The Bible says that they realized they had been naked, and from that point on, they became just son of men. And it seems in the Old Testament that God tried through various patriarchs to send a word, to start the plan of salvation. And the word came. You'll see in the Old Testament, the word, it says the word came to Abraham, or the word came unto Isaac, or the word came through the prophet unto David. See, God was trying to send the word to re-manifest the Spirit. But it took all those thousands of years until the Bible says, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. The angel Gabriel said to Mary that the thing that is going to overshadow you, you know what that means? Cover you, is going to be the Holy Spirit. And that thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Word had to be made flesh. And when the word is made flesh, the Bible goes on to say, we beheld his glory. If you could stand with me. That's what we are returning to. We have been created to be a vessel for his glory. Romans 9:23 says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, I'm not making this up. Isn't that what it says? That he had originally prepared us vessels for his glory, which he had afore, that means before, prepared unto glory. Even us, even you who think, I can't be nothing. No one thinks, knows of me. I'm not a nobody. It says, even us whom he hath called. Not because your heritage is Jewish, but also of the Gentiles. And here, Paul going back into the Old Testament, as he saith in OC, which is Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And John 3:2 says, beloved, I'm going to end with this. Now are we the sons of God. If you have taken one step, just one step away from Ur of the Chaldees, if you have just started on the journey, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's by faith. And it doth not yet appear. We haven't seen the glory. I'm not glowing. I'm not floating. I can't make things appear in the sky. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But do you know? Do you believe? Here's what Paul says. But we know. Just like in Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 starts with those three words, right? And we know that all things. Here again he uses the same thing. He says, but we know. Do you know that when he shall appear, we're going to be changed. The work will be complete. The covering will become a masterpiece. We shall be like him. Do you believe that? Does anyone believe that today? Do you believe that today? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus took three of his disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he showed them what was going to happen. The Bible said his raiment became as white as snow, and he started to transfigure. They couldn't even look at him. That's who we're going to see. And the Bible says when we see that, you're going to be looking around and you're going to be all light too. You're going to be all light too. Hallelujah. The word becomes manifest, and then it becomes incarnated, and it becomes a son of God. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you. Let your covering spirit fill this place today. Let there be anointing in this place that breaks every...